Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call on +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the website. They'd be happy to help. Now, today, I'm joined by Raman Sigal, founder at Raw Marketing. How are you doing, Raman?
Yeah, good afternoon, Andy. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I like the sound, or I like the word. I like the name. That's the word I was looking for. I like the name of your company, Raw Marketing. Where did that come from?
So it was, well, it's influenced by my name, obviously, the first kind of four letters of my name, but it actually came about on a night out about a decade ago, where I kind of said to some friends that I'm going to start my own company and had a few beers, and that name came up. We were like, we should call it Remarketing. That's hilarious. It's a kind of mix between your name and marketing. And
it is.
Kind of thought it was hilarious. And then, you know, the worst name ever. And then, you know, the next day kind of got a bit of a sore head and thought, yeah, why don't we just stick with that name and then we can move on to something else. And, you know, a decade later or so, it's still our name, and it's thankfully got a good reputation. So weird thing how things turn out sometimes.
Yeah, and also your clients can say, I got some remarkable marketing at Remarketing.
Hopefully they say that all the time. That's a good, good client endorsement. So I'd be happy if all our clients said that.
So you're the founder of this. So tell us a bit about yourself. And I know you've already alluded to how sort of Remarketing got set up, but tell us a bit about yourself and the early days of Remarketing.
Yeah, sure. So actually I started the business in 2009, and it was purely an opportunistic thing where, what the business I was head of marketing at, separated into two. One bit was sold and the other bit I ended up going to work for. And the bit that was sold was they were both pharmaceutical related companies. Mm. They asked me if I could do their PR work and media relations work kind of in my spare time. And that was literally the amount of strategy that went into the start of the business. And prior to that, I'd worked agency side and in-house. So I worked at Heinz for a while, then I worked at a couple of PR agencies, and then kind of found myself working in the pharmaceutical life science space, which I didn't probably know at the time was going to set me on a path to where my agency would go. So after a couple of years of working kind of almost part-time, setting my business up, my client base started to grow more and more. I started using freelancers for particular jobs. And then in 2011, my employer kindly just said to me, you need to go and do this agency thing because you seem to be pretty good at it. Mm. And we will effectively become your client. So my salary became a consultancy. And so I was very fortunate that those opportunities came about, and that kind of gave us quite a bit of business within the first couple of years. That then was the foundation for the growth of the business.
So you're quite specialized, aren't you? You're in the pharmaceutical industry. Do you think it's important? I mean, how important do you think it is for an agency to develop a niche in that way?
So yeah, it's a great question, and actually we've experienced kind of both sides of that coin. So when we started life, we were very specialized in life science and healthcare, and then as the business grew and we added more and more expertise, we were able to attract different types of business. So, you know, at one point, maybe in the year 5 or 6, we were working with housing companies, construction companies, retail businesses, you know, all types of industries. But the one common theme that kind of kept in the business was this expertise in kind of life science and in the pharmaceutical sector.
Yeah.
And in particular, it's actually the B2B supply chain of the sector. So we don't tend to work at the patient side of the market, you know, where you're producing content for patients. It tends to be the business to business side, which is earlier on, kind of in the development of new drug products. And certainly for us, I think 6 or 7, we kind of took a view, we analyzed our business. We looked at where the most successful accounts of our business were, where we were having the least problems, where we were making the most money, where we were enjoying ourselves. And actually it turned out that it was these types of clients. So we took the view to really focus on that particular niche and become known as being an absolute specialist in kind of global pharmaceutical and biotech sector. We still have actually 20% of our, we have a kind of a 80-20 rule. So 80% of our business is in that arena, and then we have 20% of our business which is kept for other stuff. So this is stuff that is either really fun or is a cultural fit or is just excites the staff, and it also allows us to develop new skills. So we work with 20% consumer clients, and actually it gives us a good kind of alternative view of PR and marketing and the various integrated services that we offer, which then obviously benefits the kind of core area of our business as well.
Yeah. Now, over the years, a lot of people sort of feel that PR and SEO have sort of come together a bit, don't they? Have converged a bit. What's your experience of that?
Yeah, so I mean, we've definitely felt that. I mean, interestingly enough, I mean, one of the first services that we ever offered were PR and SEO, which, you know, a decade ago was kind of a bit unheard of. And the reason that was purely because I was trained as a PR professional and, you know, learned to optimize a website and, you know, do some link building and back in the day. And obviously as the industry has developed over the last few years and, you know, inbound strategy, content marketing, blogging, it's become such a core part of the way that we deliver things for clients, but it's also brought everything together. And certainly what we found is, you know, we were coming across agencies that were doing kind of community outreach and blogger outreach. And we were scratching our heads looking at agencies like this, because as PR professionals, that's what we've been doing for years, but we've been doing it with traditional media. You know, we were able to identify a target outlet and sell something compelling into the kind of the media owner, if you like. So actually, once we kind of started doing that, albeit in the digital space, it turned out that we were really good at it. And so we kind of, it's really, really interesting for our type of business that we've been able to kind of really bring, you know, the content creation side of things and, you know, the inbound link building strategy very much in line with our PR accounts. So it's made the PR side of things much more interesting than say, you know, in the old days where we used to, you know, identify a magazine or a particular newspaper and go after them.
Mm. Now, back to your specialization, because it must be quite difficult at times. Do you ever have to sort of, you know, people approach you for help, do you ever have to say no or not chase certain types of business?
Yesterday this exact instance happened. So we a former client of ours who she operates in the leisure sector, and you know, we used to do quite a lot in kind of bars and clubs and restaurants and stuff like that, and approached us and said, could you help us with the marketing aspect of our, it's a Canadian company, but they've got quite a few bars and stuff in the UK. And I went back quite quickly and just said, look, this is not on strategy for our business, but recommended to alternative agencies that I think would be a good fit for her needs. And I think that kind of bravery and courage of actually just saying no to business is actually really important to agencies. We've also been on the other side of that fence where we said yes to everything and it caused us so many problems.
Yes. Yeah.
But you know, it's the kind of the benefit of hindsight, right? So we get that now because we've been through the pain of saying yes to everything and chasing our tails and chasing the cash. And whereas now we're a bit more, you know, we know what we're really, really exceptionally good at, and that's what we stick to. And we know what we're okay at, that we'll do an okay job, but that's not good enough for us. You know, if we can't do a, what we phrase, if we can't do a world-class job for the client, then we won't bother. Because more often than not, it ends in tears because the client's unhappy and you don't keep them as a business. And then you've got to, you know, fill that client or get rid of someone or whatever. And it's a bit of a kind of a spiral if you go down that road.
Now, again, as a sort of an agency that specializes in PR, we all know it's important to keep on top of things. What's your experience of sort of, you know, keeping at the forefront of PR and pharmaceuticals in particular? And what are your strategies sort of helping people to sort of learn and be the best people that they can?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in kind of continuous learning and progression. I've seen it in my own career. That making that time to read, listen to podcasts. I mean, I listen to your podcast when I'm running very often, and I'll stop and make notes, and it makes sure that I'm kind of perfecting my craft. And as a business and as an agency, we've tried to encourage that, you know, across our business. So, you know, for example, everyone gets a day off every month, and we call it a create day. And in that day, they can go and learn a new skill or go and expose themselves to some kind of new industry trend, or something relating to the sector that we're in. So, so that works really, really well. And we do quite a lot as well in terms of, our digital team will do training sessions for the PR team. You know, the content team will do, you know, training sessions with the marketing team. The SEO team will then talk about what the latest trends are in their area. And that kind of cross learning is a really useful exercise as well, because it gets everyone in the business up to a kind of a standard knowledge. And then you mentioned about the life science side of things. I mean, we actually do a what we call a pharma training kind of course, if you like. So yeah, every time a new set of step, like staff starts, so we've had I think a few starters in the last few months, so they then go through a kind of an overview of the drug development market and clinical trials and the language that we use for clients. And
yes,
it's really important, because, you know, for us, we want people to be progressive and we want people to learn and grow within the business. And I'm a big believer that so when I'm interviewing people, actually, it might be quite useful for some of your listeners. You know, I really kind of drill down into looking for, you know, how is this person kind of keeping up with trends? You know, what are they reading? What are they listening to?
Yeah.
And I think that tells you, you know, when someone says to you, "Oh, well, I haven't done anything since my degree 10 years ago," that, you know, that inherently tells you something about how much that person really loves their craft. Whereas if the person turns around and says, "Well, you know, I listen to, I religiously read, you know, this particular blog," or, you know, "I do the Whiteboard Friday thing every Friday with Mars, and, you know, I do this and I do that." And I think you'll see that passion, and you'll see that actually they really care about becoming the best at what they want. And that's very important, I think, for anyone working in an agency environment. That I think you can very easily get left behind in an agency when you stand still. And so that's why we are big on, I suppose, promoting, continuous learning.
Yeah. That's a really nice idea, actually, about the create days, I think is what you called them, where you allow people to sort of go off and sort of learn things on their own. Does that, I would imagine that sort of brings about a very good feeling of sort of well-being and towards the company. Yeah. Is it working quite well?
Yeah, it's a really nice word that you use there. Like, it wasn't designed for, like, you know, a headspace thing, or, you know, but it was designed actually just to give people space from doing the doing, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So often our teams, you know, particularly the content team or the development team, they're so head down just doing stuff, right? Like, whether they're writing or coding or designing, that actually just taking your brain away from the environment and going to a local art gallery or going to the library or going to sit, you know, on a bench somewhere, or just spending a day out the office, just teases out kind of interesting kind of ideas or things to think about. And I think it gives people a little bit of breathing space. And I think that's really, really important. And I think as part of that, Andy, as well, you know, I think kind of productivity is really important in a lot of agency environments as well. So the room that I'm actually sitting in now, and I've got a mic here, and one of my team joked that I should put the on-air light on, you know, like you have in a radio station, yeah. And because we actually have one in our office. So when the on-air light is on, the kind of the idea behind that is everyone is in the zone and everyone is heads down and concentrating and focusing on whatever they're working on. And when that light goes off, it kind of gives everyone that, you know, time to breathe and actually go make a cup of tea and have a chat and that type of thing. And that kind of, we call it like pulse and pause kind of manner of working is a really effective way of getting the best out of your teams as well. And just, you know, just recognizing that they can't go full tilt and work 8 hours, 9 hours solid a day,
yeah,
because actually it's kind of diminishing returns as the day goes on. You know, less and less work is done. And I think, again, that's really important. And for people working in an agency environment as well, to just get that space to breathe and, you know, go for a walk at lunchtime and just clear your mind and not get too kind of caught up with just being sat behind your desk all day.
So just think of our listeners now. I mean, if there are probably not all of our listeners, but a fair proportion of our listeners might be running an agency, might even be running an agency that's a bit specialised like yours. If you could condense down into what you've said, or what you said today, into two or three top tips, Rahman, what would they be?
Oh, put me on the spot. So I think what we talked about at the start, I think this idea of kind of not chasing the wrong type of client in the wrong type of business, I think is really important. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters what level of an agency business or any business that you're in. I think people get very excited by opportunities, and particularly people who are entrepreneurial kind of spirited, then you've got to work out what's the best fit and what the right type of client is for your business and your agency. And when you do, and actually when you do work that out, whether it's a persona or a profile or whatever it is that you use, you'll spot them a mile off. So when they come and ask you particular questions or they're looking for a particular service, you know that you can answer that question. You can solve that problem. You're much more confident about it. So that reflects in the way that you present and the way you price and sell it in, because you know you can deliver on that.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I suppose, just, you know, your question about learning and progression. I think for a lot of people, I think I see in the, particularly in the younger staff in my business, is being a lot more intentional with your time in business and life. And I see so many of my team sitting there on their phones all day. And at lunchtime, they'll sit there on their phone, or, you know, they'll be out and about with their heads down on their phone. And I think, again, just making time to just, you know, take in some fresh air and actually learn something and get off Facebook. And I think that is so important. And I think, you know, for this kind of next generation that I'm seeing coming into the workforce, I can really see a difference between the ones that are engaged in their learning and the ones that aren't. Yeah. And I think that's going to be a key factor, particularly in the agency environment going forward, because obviously social is so kind of ingrained in what we do. You know, everyone's expected to be on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, etc., etc. But actually knowing when to switch off and when to engage and actually do something with it, and when it's time to learn or just and do nothing, that's it's something I battle with every day. And when you've got children as well,
yes,
it gets even more difficult.
Yes.
You know, but I find it's funny, because my wife and I will always have a go at each other when one of the other one, either of us, is on our phone and our children are trying to get our attention. And only when you have that out of body of experience and you see the other person doing it, you can see, what are you doing? Your kid's trying to get your attention. So I think that kind of just awareness of what you're doing with your time and attention is so important.
Yeah. Food for thought. So thank you so much for joining us today. How can our listeners find out more about you and Rahman Marketing?
Yeah, well, no, but thank you so much for having me on. I am genuinely a big fan of the podcast, and I've learned so much from the guests that have been on your show, and I'm very grateful for that. So in terms of me, remarketingpr.com, so that's kind of ramarketingpr.com. Just that's where we are in terms of our online presence. Obviously, we're on Twitter and LinkedIn and everything else. And then for me, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Ramanelli, as in the a play on Ravanelli, the old footballer. So right. So it's my name, ELLI, or Rahman Segal UK on LinkedIn. Connect, get in touch, always keen to grow my network, meet new people, and help and share my knowledge where possible, just to help others.
Just to make things easier for our listeners, I'm just going to spell out I think it's your Twitter handle, isn't it, you just said? So it's
R-A-M-A-N-E-L-L-I.
Yeah. And then if they're looking for you generally, the spelling of your surname is S-E-H-G-A-L, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect, yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Roman, and thanks for everyone for listening. The show notes are on the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IMpodcast. Please leave us a review if you're enjoying the show. If you want to contact us with questions or suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at Site Visibility. We also have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. And I think that's it. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Roman.
Thanks, Andy. All the best.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.